It's Basin Street. Tonight's special guests, Ralph Bellamy, bass trumpeter Fletch Filburn, and the noted musicologist, Dagmar. Yes, it's the no-doubt world-renowned Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street, dedicated to the music of the three B's, Barrel House, Boogie Woogie, and the Blues. Brought to you by the National Broadcasting Company as an information and education program of the United States Army Reserve. Tonight in our concert hall, Dr. Henry Hotlips Levine and Miss Martha Lou Harp welcome as our special guests one of America's favorite actors, Professor Ralph Bellamy, one of America's most foolhardy musicians, Professor Fletch Filburn, who fools around with a bass trumpet, and one of America's most intelligent women, Dagmar. Well, now here is Basin Street's new commentator, the illustrious musicologist who needs no introduction, and who furthermore ain't going to get any, Dr. Orson Bean.
Thank you. Thank you, music lovers and lovers of culture, and also you blissfully ignorant souls who don't know whether the immortal violinist Ole Bull is the founder of a modern violin technique or the father of a Jersey heifer.
That's a good one, really.
Yes, dear. Well, my word, yes. It's a regular James Q. Dandy, that's what that is. This evening, Dr. Levine opens our concert with a Dixieland divertimento, which is so completely Confederate in character that some learned musicologists believe it to be the work of a South Alabama boll weevil named Dagmar. Good heavens. This claim, of course, is utter nonsense. Utter nonsense. For, as you all know, this great classic comes from New Orleans, having been left on the levee by an absent-minded catfish named Dagmar. Great Scott. The work opens without a formal introduction, one reason being that Dr. Levine and his musicians don't speak to one another. Now comes a series of solos, which are marked ad lib and are played ad nauseum. Finally, the drummer uses his sticks to beat on the strings of the string bass, and this results in a bass viol solo, which is so bass and so vile that the drummer should be beaten and the string player strung up. Well, here is That's a Plenty. Bravo, bravissimo. Or as the Viennese concert goers used to say, hock, hock, zu Himmel hock. There's more. I'll begin again. Hock, hock, zu Himmel hock. I think it sounded better the first time. The music is viel gestunken. This translated means, of course, not only that it does, but that it does to high heaven. But now, that was a rather ribald pleasantry. Now for a message which needs no translation of any kind, and to put it into plain words, here is Wayne Howell.
Friends, today thousands of young men are doing their share toward making America strong by serving with the U.S. Army Reserve. In the Army Reserve, they are continuing their training under experts, learning new skills and jobs. Each month, these patriotic young men spend an evening or two training in their own hometown. Now, if you are a Selective Service veteran, or if you're now serving actively in the U.S. Army and will be a reservist on your release from active service, you too can benefit from this reserve program. There are many material benefits: pay for your spare time drill periods, opportunities for promotion, technical training, and retirement credits. Veterans, contact your nearest organized Reserve Corps headquarters or visit your local U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force recruiting station to learn how you can serve yourself while you serve the nation.
Following our premier concert last week, where Miss Martha Lou Harp made her debut, her telephone jangled for hours with calls from admiring fans who wanted to know more about her. One of these calls came from a freelance booking agent named Agamemnon Sneed. Mr. Sneed wanted to book Miss Harp for a split week in the cameo room of the Jersey City Stockyards. It's an intimate club. Another warmly interested call came from the Edison Company, who desired to know when she was going to pay her light bill. I could go on for hours. Well, because of this widespread interest, Miss Harp has had many offers, none of which will bear repeating in polite company. However, we can tell you that she is soon to begin a very splendid engagement in New York City, where she will appear as a pinch hitter for the Giants. Good luck, old girl. Here she comes now, fine figure of a girl that she is, delicately picking her way through the audience, pocket by pocket. And now here is our new Dixie Diva. Diva? Diver? There you are, aren't you? Miss Martha Lou Harp in an extremely offbeat ballad, Solitude.
In my solitude, you haunt me with memories of days gone by. In my solitude, you taunt with reveries that never die. Yes, I sit in my chair, I'm filled with despair. No one could be so sad. With gloom everywhere, I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad in my solitude. I'm praying, dear Lord above, send back my love. I sit in my chair, I'm filled with despair. No one could be so sad. With gloom everywhere, I sit and I stare. I know that I'll soon go mad in solitude. I'm praying.
As you all know, music lovers, the rich and varied history of the trumpet is ancient, honorable, and almost incredibly boring. For instance, the first early Italian trumpet was called a trompe marina. That is, trompe marina. I didn't want anyone to forget that. The word marina leading some eminent scholars to believe that it had a ballpoint mouthpiece and was played under minestrone. This is it's a colloquial joke. Later research, of course, showed that this confusion arose from the fact that the instrument was usually played in low dives. Played in low dives, trompe marina. They can't all be gems. Actually, almost half a century has passed since the first bass trumpet was played by any musician. They haven't played it since. That is, any musician in his right mind. Which is why we now present a bass trumpet solo by our own Professor Fletch Filburn, who is noted for the facility with which he flips his lid. But he's good to his mother. Among his other eccentricities, Professor Filburn has an affinity for odd instruments, and it is said that he once played a hot chorus of Dixie on a small subsection of the Bronx sewer. I think it was an abandoned plunger of some sort. This story is, of course, apocryphal. Apocryphal? We have a small but select listening audience. I don't know what it means. I hope you do. I just read these things. Professor Filburn admits, however, that in the great recording of Mule Train, he did play a B-flat mule. My word, yes. Professor Fletch Filburn in his own great bass trumpet work, Fletcher's Folly. Nice. I find it curious that such lovely music could come from a monstrous-looking thing like that. Well, we have now reached the intermission in this concert by the Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street, which, if you take two aspirins, perhaps it will go away. I like to inject a little bit of levity into the program. As our intermission commentator, we are proud to welcome one of America's favorite stage and screen actors, and who is also famous as Detective Mike Barnett on... You should pardon the expression, Television. Bad word. Here he is a former member of the Chicago Opera Company, and here he is, Professor Ralph Bellamy.
Thank you, music lovers. You rascals, you.
Professor Bellamy, when you were with the Chicago Opera Company, were you a tenor?
Please now, Doctor, let's don't start off with insults.
Good heavens, I beg your pardon, of course. But perhaps you will tell us something about your musical career, eh?
Oh, I play with Toscanini.
Oh, splendid, splendid, excellent. What do you play?
Oh, stud, draw, spit in the ocean, dealer's choice.
Bless my soul, horrors. Do you mean that you and the great Toscanini gamble for money?
No, we play for musicians. The other night, for instance, I filled a bobtailed flush and I came home with two lady harpists and a glockenspiel player. Actually, though, Dr. Bean, I started out in life as a musician.
Ah, now we are getting somewhere, I wish. What was your instrument?
Well, we were very poor. I knew I had to eat while I was learning, so I invented my own instrument. A bangalute.
A bangalute? Just what is a, should I say, what are a, what is, oh, humbug, what is a bangalute?
Ah, a bangalute is a very practical instrument, which I made by combining a bass banjo, a Chinese lute, and a double-barrel shotgun.
American ingenuity.
I'll never forget an open-air concert I once played in the Maine woods. During 8 bars of Chopin's Funeral March, I got 3 music critics, 2 game wardens, and a bull moose.
Good shooting, Professor. And the audiences appreciated your superb artistry?
My audiences simply raved. At the end of each concert, they always stormed onto the stage.
I see, and they carried you off on their shoulders in triumph.
No, usually they carried me off on a rail in tar and feathers.
My word.
Yes, American ingenuity. Seriously, though, Dr. Bean, I did begin my professional career as an accompanist with the Chicago Opera Company.
I see. You accompanied the singers as a pianist.
No, I accompanied the audience up the aisles as an usher. I'll never forget one of our singers, a king-sized soprano that we used to call Two-Ton Tilly. She had a very trim figure, only they didn't trim it enough. Well, one night I was climbing out of the stage to hand her a bouquet when my foot slipped and I plunged headfirst through a bass drum. And so, as you can see, Dr. Bean, I owe everything to music. Because if it hadn't been for that blow on the head, I never would have decided to become an actor. But now, I want you to meet one of my protégés, who also owes much to music. She comes from very humble origin. And through years of study and constant practice, before all kinds of audiences, and a consuming preoccupation about herself and her personal attributes, she has now blossomed into full bloom. And she's one of America's most intelligent women. Dagmar.
Welcome, O Tower of Beauty, O Herculean Physique, O Peak of Amazonian Pulchritude.
Oh, dear. It's so nice to find a man who appreciates my brain.
But, Dagmar, you do have, shall we say, other attributes?
Ridiculous. My brain is all that matters. The rest of me is nothing.
Yeah. All I can say is thank heaven for nothing, eh?
He's so musical.
And speaking of music, Dagmar...
Yes, Mr. Beans?
Beans. Dagmar, it's not Beans, it's Bean. I'm singular.
Poor boy, you've never been married.
Thank you.
Welcome.
We understand that you are one of the country's outstanding music lovers, that you have an enormous record collection.
Oh, yes. You should see the way it's stacked.
I shouldn't wonder. Is there any particular form of music you like best?
Yes, vocal music. I also like singers.
Like Mary Olanza?
I never heard of her. Mary Olanza. But I like singers like Perry Sinatra, Bing Sinatra, Johnny Sinatra.
I'm a bit reluctant to bring this up. But you seem to have overlooked Frank Sinatra.
I'm afraid I did. He's so thin.
Somehow, Dagmar, I thought of you more as the classical music lover. You know, symphonies, operas.
Oh, definitely. I love operas like Cafeteria Rusticana and Madame Butterfinger.
How do you like Puccini?
Oh, I'm afraid it's too fattening.
I like this girl.
Thank you.
Welcome.
And since you were so kind to invite me here, I'd like to read an original poem.
Uh-huh. Splendid. We'll be listening with open eyes.
I like this boy. Here is my poem, To Music, by Dagmar, poet at large. It's just a poem, you know. The music of Bach is very fine. Mozart's music makes my heart shine. And Beethoven's music is very dear. But the best music of all that can't be beat is the music right here on the lower basin of Chamber Street. I thank you.
There she goes. Thank you, Professor Ralph Bellamy, and also the learned lady poet, which we shall ever, forever. Dagmar. Incidentally, I might add that the dry rattle which accompanied the applause was the sound of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow rapidly revolving in his grave. But now for a brief message.
This is Ralph Bellamy. I'd like to step out of character for a minute and speak to you as Mr. Citizen USA. We all know that to be a champion, one must be in perfect physical condition and train constantly. As members of the greatest team in the world, we can't neglect the military training necessary to keep America a champion. The law of the land has given this military responsibility to the young men of our nation. These men are doing their part for the team by serving with the U.S. Army Reserve. They're learning new skills and techniques in their chosen branch of service alongside veterans of World War II and Korea who have long served in the Organized Reserve Corps. They are, as volunteer citizen soldiers, serving themselves while they serve the nation. The U.S. Army Reserve pays off in a big way. There's pay for every training period and summer camp. There are retirement credits. If you're a young man now serving under the Selective Service Law, or if you've completed your selective service time, the Army Reserve offers you a chance to help both yourself and your country. Let's keep America a champion. How about it, service veterans? Call or visit your nearest Organized Reserve Corps headquarters or the local Army and Air Force recruiting station for additional information.
A melodic history of jazz. Miss Martha Lou Hart and the Birth of the Blues.
Heard the breeze in the trees singing with melodies. Then they played that as part of the blues. I heard a sound melody, a real weird melody from the Southland. The birth of the blues. From a whippoorwill out on a hill, they took a new note, pushed it through a horn till it was born into a blue note. And then they called it, yes, rehearsed it, gave out the news that the Southland gave birth to the blues. From a whippoorwill out on a hill, they took a new note, pushed it through a horn till it was born into a blue note. And then they nursed it, yes, rehearsed it, and told everybody the news that the Southland gave birth to the blues.
Very lovely. A Dixieland classic, which is currently enjoying a well-merited revival
is the beloved two-beat tarantella at the Jazzland Ball. Oh, you hear it everywhere. Dr. Levine himself had intended to write the program notes for this work. Unfortunately, however, the good doctor left school early and, while still in knee pants, joined the world-famed original Dixieland Jazz Band, where he was proudly billed as the world's oldest juvenile delinquent. As a consequence, however, our learned conductor never learned to write, except on back fences. And this evening, he just didn't have time to bring his back fence. We couldn't do it. All clear? Capital. Suffice it to say that we will hear solos by Professor Arturo Baker on clarinet, Professor Alan Klink on tenor sax, and Professor Fletch Filburn on tailgate sludge pump. Dr. Levine will be on trumpet, and he is also out on good behavior. Here we go with At the Jazzland Ball.
In hundreds of Army Reserve units across the country, four-sided young men are preparing for the future by training in units right in their own hometowns. To get the full information on this service, call or visit your local Army Reserve headquarters or your nearest Army and Air Force recruiting station.
And so, music lovers, we have come to the end of another concert by the no doubt world-renowned Chamber Music Society of Lower Basin Street, presented by NBC in the interest of the United States Army Reserve. Next week, Dr. Henry Hotlips Levine and Miss Martha Lou Hart will welcome as our special guests the hot piano man, Eddie Haywood, and appearing both as intermission commentator and as vocalist in a Dixieland work which he composed especially for Basin Street, Mr. Television himself, Milton Berle. Next week, our concert will be at the same time, so be sure to warn all of your friends, as I am sure that some of them will wish to miss it. Now, this is Dr. Orson Bean saying, see you then.
This program was written by Walden Kelly and produced and directed by Robert Calicat Adams. Dr. Wayne Howell speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.